I wanted to spend a little time talking about a prophet that is an awful lot like us. It's Jonah. And I want to read from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is the Lord speaking to Jonah. One day the Lord told Jonah, the son of Amittai, to go to the great city of Nineveh and say to the people, "The Lord has seen your terrible sins. You are doomed." Instead, Jonah ran from the Lord. He went to the seaport of Joppa and bought a ticket on a ship that was going to Spain. Then he got on the ship and sailed away to escape. Now, I want to ask, how relevant is this drama to our current world situation? Jonah is from a town called Gath-Hepher, which is about 3 miles northeast of Nazareth. So if we go to a map, we have where Hazor is. Just to the right of that is the Sea of Galilee. This is pretty close to where Jonah is when he receives this message. And he is to go travel up to Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria. It's going to take him a while to get there. He's going to have to cross a couple of rivers, but basically this is a landlocked journey. Okay. But he doesn't want to do it. Instead, he wants to travel all the way from, here's the Sea of Galilee, and he wants to take a Mediterranean cruise and end up right over here at the Strait of Gibraltar. It's about 2,200 miles. So, when we go back to verse 1 and look at this a little more closely, we find that it is God that's issuing the call. This isn't Jonah's idea of a offbeat trip. It's not a vacation. It's not one of his typical missionary journeys. And Jonah knows that it's Jehovah calling him. He knows it's God because he recognized his voice. This is a guy that's been a prophet for quite some time. God speaks to Jonah a lot. They had a relationship. You'd think it would be pretty tight, but I guess to Jonah, the relationship between his God and himself is conditional. God, we're tight if I understand why you're doing what you're doing, if I understand where you want me to go, if I understand what you want me to say makes sense to me. So when we get to verse 2, we need to try to understand what Jonah's problem is with the assignment. If he goes to Nineveh, he's going to the enemies of his people. You see, the Assyrians have been making forays into northern Israel, where Jonah lived, for a long time. Jonah knows all about the wickedness of Nineveh, and now he realizes it's come to his God's attention, which at first he's all fired up. I'm supposed to go to Nineveh, a great city, cry out against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. Awesome. You know just how bad this place is, God. Great. I know exactly how to solve this. You can just do fire, brimstone, whatever stuff you want to cast down. Or if you want, I can come in, I can tell them you're all going to burn, and you can then cue the lightning and cue the hail, and fires are going to break out. So Jonah's solution is go and kill them. Unfortunately, the message is go and win them. That's not how you operate, God. These aren't your chosen people. Why do you want me to do a mission trip to these guys who have never acknowledged you as their God? Why do you send me? This doesn't make sense. So, no, I'm not going to do it. So in verse 3, Jonah instead runs away to take a Mediterranean cruise. Now, because Jonah has been a prophet for quite some time, he's been able to raise and save up a good sum of cash, which he's going to need, because if he has to get on a boat and go 2,200 miles, he's not going to be able to go on a journey that far for free. And he's got to be thinking, I got to come up with a plan once I get there, what I'm going to do. Because no boat ever went further west than that. So he's going to be dropped off in either Morocco or Spain, and then he's going to have to figure out what he's going to do. So he figures, doesn't matter. I'm as far away from that assignment in Assyria as I could possibly get. I'll figure it out once I get there. I've got the money. It's my money. I can spend it any way I want to. I think that's funny because if you stop and think about it, all of that money is God's. So, because God gave him the call, God provided the means to keep him doing what he was doing. So all the money is from him, was designed to go back into the ministry. So here's Jonah paying with God's money to escape from God's call. So Jonah is quite a mess. This is a guy who has the fear of God, but not the love. Jonah has the religion, all the religion that he could possibly carry, exude, and preach, all the work involved with keeping that up. And yet, no joy in a relationship. What does that leave him? It leaves him with the futile attempt to serve both God and the world. How many times have we, just like Jonah, told God no, and then used the gifts and the resources that he gave us to go do something that we wanted to do? If this is God's call, why did he take all the other assignments and not this one? Why wouldn't he, if he was so certain that the whole point of being a prophet was to herald what God wanted to say to his people, to have that closer walk, to lead a people closer to him, why wouldn't he stand in that gap for a people that he is so tired of the wars with them? Wouldn't this solve that problem? And instead, he just decides to run, and he'll figure it out as he goes along. Well, if God gives the call, we don't have to figure anything out. We simply have to do what he tells us. He has it all figured out. All we have to do is show up, pray, and obey. But that's not what we find in a lot of churches in this area and across the country. There's a lot of this anti-sentiment. I can say from personal experience that starting and pastoring a church doesn't happen in a friendly environment, even up here in God's country. All those bumper stickers that I still see. Because there's plenty of anti-sentiment in the news. There's plenty of gossip going on in the churches. There's even enemies within churches. God has a purpose for each one of us, and he has a purpose for the church. When we hear a word from him with a specific mission, it's because he hand-selected who he did. And if he selected who he has, then that person, male, female, adult, child, doesn't matter. God is God. He can do whatever he wants. He can call anyone, anytime, anywhere, to go anywhere, to say whatever he wants. God does the equipping. He already has figured out what to say, where to go, who to talk to. You simply have to follow the instruction. He will take care of the result. He will take care of all of the details. Any questions that are raised, he gives the answer. But why is it that we instead bear reluctance? Is it because we suddenly think that God isn't sovereign? Is it suddenly because we don't think he's powerful enough? Do we just not get the assignment and say, no, but I'll do plan B? What is it? I think when God gives a special word to you, it's for a specific task that he knows you are perfect to perform. He knows what he's doing. He's got the power to back it up. If you're not clear, pray. You are clear, obey. Holy Father, we come to you. We know that there are times that you give us a mission and we reject it. It's not because we don't know you. It's because we don't trust. We don't trust ourselves. Maybe we don't trust your judgment. We are a people that say, I don't know how to respond. There are a lot more genuine articles out there, Lord, that could express what you want said much better. There are people that worship you much more wholeheartedly. There are people that have the gifts of words. Father, just pick somebody a little more sensible, somebody with a much better God presence. But what we have to remember is that you know all things. We are completely open before you. If you send us, it's to illustrate just how loving, just how caring, just how much effort you will go to offer salvation to someone else. You are an inescapable God. And we profess tonight that when you call, we're not going to run. We're not going to ignore you. We will take the path you will lead us down. We thank you for your persistent love that chased us down in the first place. And we choose to take your anointing of more of that persistent love to others. It's by your power and grace that we can come to you and be led by you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.